98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
I'm guessing you have an opinion about the Washington Redskins, not as a football team, but as a nickname. You either think the name is as tired as racism itself, or you've had enough of the world changing overnight. For sports fans, these are our statues coming down. Symbols and names that we never much thought of in the past, yet they seem to be somehow tangled inside our memories and our nostalgia and stuff that we were once told was very important. But times are changing fast. Daniel Snyder once swore he'd never change the name, and then corporate money started barking, and well, here we are. But if you happen to be participating in this new American awakening, you know you must rethink some things, like the Washington Redskins. And if we are taught to not judge one another by the color of their skin, how can we allow an NFL team to name themselves based on that very toxic principle? I would say this to all those who are bristling and cringing at what's happening. What's in a name? Nothing. Your memories, your history with the team, your triumphs and your collective failures, they're all yours and they always will be. And besides, a team like the Redskins, they should be yearning for a fresh start anyway to turn the page. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, open for business in two great locations, the newly renovated off the I-10 and Ray Road in Chandler on Camelback Road in Phoenix. You can always find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
This is an incredibly fascinating intersection for Dan Snyder, a guy who is trying to change things drastically on the field, but now also facing potential change off the field. Now, he hires Ron Rivera and gets rid of Bruce Allen, who's been his right-hand man, controversially so, for quite a long time. But now we also have reports that the three minority owners who make up 40% of the ownership group are interested in selling their shares of the Redskins. Now, Frederick Smith is one of those guys, CEO for FedEx. This is a guy, by the way, whose company has come out and said, it's time for us to change this name. So if Dan Snyder can make the move toward making the name change and can also get Ron Rivera, a guy who is one of the more popular figures in the NFL, to sort of empower this ownership group, maybe they can make strides in the right direction. Incredibly fascinating on the field, and now, Greeny, incredibly fascinating off of it.
So there you go. And it is fascinating because it continues the narrative of the NFL in terms of, okay, who are you going to serve here? Are you going to really try to align yourself with the interests of your players? This movement is very important to the NFL. We know that. The NFL, I don't know what the most recent percentages are, but I think it's over 70% played by African Americans. So they're very vested into what is going on in the country right now. And Roger Goodell has made an about abrupt change of face in terms of how he sees this entire situation. He offered an apology to the players, not to Colin Kaepernick personally, but to the players for not listening to their concerns in the past. That is moving a mountain, in my opinion. And I know a lot of people gave Roger Goodell a lot of flack for not singling out Colin Kaepernick. The fact that he apologized is moving a mountain, in my opinion. And now you've got the Washington Redskins and their name. The time has come for the Washington Redskins to change that name. This has been an issue that's been going for years.
The time has come 30 years ago.
30 years ago. Now, well, I mean, and again, this issue has cropped up repeatedly over the course of the last 10 years, maybe even longer. But it just seems like in the recent 10 years.
Especially since Dan Snyder took over, because he's been so vehement against changing the name.
Right. And because he's been so obstinate about it, and because his football team has really been largely incompetent during the same period of time. It's kind of shown a really bad light on this franchise. Now, if you're a sports fan, I mean a deep, diehard sports fan of the Phoenix Suns, and if somebody came to you and said, we need to change this, you need to change this, you might feel that way. Say
the sun's the sun causes melanoma, so it's controversial.
Bingo.
We don't wanna,
that's exactly right. Something like that. You might look at that and immediately you're going to say, to heck with this. This is my stuff. Why are you taking away my source of joy? And it's understandable because being a sports fan, that's what it means. It means going all in.
We see it when they when teams don't even change their name, but they change their uniforms. They change their logo. They change their team colors. Certain
that's a great
parts
point.
Of the fan base go crazy. They mm-hmm. hate it.
They hate it. They hate it. But teams are always quick to do it when they know they can make money to do it. If they can introduce a new line.
Which is why I can't believe Dan Snyder wasn't on board on this quicker.
Right.
Going to sell so much new merchandise, in theory, if the team wasn't awful.
Right. So I think the Washington Redskins, they need to read the moment and they need to just, they need to embrace this. Instead of making this a fight, focus on the unity word.
Well, there's certain points in history and timing where the national belief of what should be done shifts enough. So now changing the name will be more popular than not changing the name. Whereas for years, if he was relying on, oh, the fan base wants to keep the name
yes.
so badly that we're
yes.
going to upset so many people.
Yes.
Now, at this point, with what the reaction is, it feels like they're going to upset more people if they don't change the name.
Yes, and that is why I think the reading of the moment is so important. At because if not now, when? And if you don't, if Daniel Snyder fights this, is he going to lose FedEx? Is he going to lose all his major title sponsors? And then on top of that, I'll guarantee you what else he'll get. He'll get a revolt from his football team because that is this is the new day. This is the awakening.
It's also crazy that, like, St. John's changed their name years and years ago from the Red Men to the Red Storm
mm-hmm.
because of the exact same reason of what was offensive about it. The fact that they did that and then the Redskins have now been around for, you know, two decades past that still is crazy.
There have been a lot. Listen, and you think about how many nicknames have come and gone in the world of sports. I want you to get the Vegas odds ready for me again here in a moment. But
yep.
I want to finish by saying this. To me, when you look at this and you look at where this controversy with the Redskins has been, there have been a lot of people who said, okay, look, you know what? There's just not been the amount of backlash for us. There's not been that much collective protesting from Native Americans. There's not been this outpouring of that's wrong. There's been a lot of mixed messaging. There's been a lot of reporting that claims that there are Native Americans who find that name horrifying. And then there are other groups, not so much. They think maybe it's a tribute to their heritage and all
part that always like makes me, if at least some of them find it horrifying, is that not enough?
And more, even more to the point, yes, to answer your question, but even more to the point, it's about doing the right thing. That's what I think it is now. It's about doing the right thing. And that is understanding how insensitive that is.
And again,
if we're really going to go forward with this bold, aspiring new day in America, where we're really going to wipe out prejudice based on one's color of skin. It's a wonderfully ambitious thing, and I love to be part of this.
I've brought this up earlier, but in the same market, another sports team changed their name.
I know.
Already because it was offensive, and they changed it from Bullets to Wizards
mm-hmm.
in the same market. It's crazy that this already happened in that market, you know, some years ago.
I know.
And it's still like such a struggle to do this.
So it's such a struggle. So what the Redskins need to do is embrace it, change their name, put it open to their fans, get a winner, change your design, change your logo, and then have everybody who's got existing gear, they can exchange it for new gear if they want.
That's already the first problem, though, is they have not embraced it.
And, I know.
And even now at this point, if they change it, it appears that they were forced into it. because they were forced into it because FedEx was going to pull their money out. They were forced into it because the minority owners of the Redskins don't want to work with Daniel Snyder anymore. They were forced into it because of the pressure from the fan base or social movements. If they would have just a while ago embraced it and got everybody behind the new name, say, this new name's better. That's why we're changing to it.
Yeah.
But now, whatever they do, it's going to feel like they were forced into it. But whatever. Oftentimes, it doesn't matter how you got someplace as long as you get to the right place.
Right.
Sometimes
exactly.
You make too big a deal about whether they did it for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. As long as they do something that, in the end, is right, that's all that really matters.
Okay, so the Vegas odds.
So here are the updated odds as of this morning that was sent to me. The Washington Red Tails are the favorites at 3-1. That's to honor the Tuskegee Airmen. It's a cool plane logo, same colors, everything. That would work good.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Generals, they have as the second best odds, which I just cannot see happening. I don't understand why they would want to do that other than it's a known name, but it's not known for good reasons.
No, that brand is a losing brand.
This name is what my dad told me has been getting a lot of momentum, which mm-hmm. I can't believe. The Washington Presidents is the third highest odds at 5-1. Then the Washington Lincolns and the Washington Veterans. Either of those, the Washington Americans.
I guess the Washington Presidents is interesting.
The Washington Americans is good, and I'm surprised
like that
they've never done that before, anybody.
I don't mind. I mean, the Red Tails is cool. The Red Hawks is cool.
The Red Hawks is on there. The Kings, the Monuments, the Washington Monuments. That's what my dad wanted the Nationals to be called. Before they became the Nationals, he said the Washington Monuments would be. I think that's a stupid. A monument is especially stupid.
You wouldn't want to. Monuments don't move.
Exactly,
stationary. They're stationary. Using the word monument to describe a quarterback is bad.
No, maybe if Alex Smith was still there.
Yeah.
The Washington Arlingtons, the Washington Hogs has 50-1 odds, which are really long. But that's something also that has a history with the team or the Hogs. You know, that fan base that dressed up like pigs and stuff. So that would be something. And then, of course, the Washington Snowflakes and the Washington Trumps.
And the Red Tails would be incredibly progressive as a replacement name because of the fact that, and some people remember the movie that had Cuba Gooding Jr. in it, the Tuskegee Airmen, as you mentioned, they're a group of African-American Army Air Forces. So, I mean, if you really want to be progressive like that, that would be a powerful statement in and of itself. I don't think it'd be really that prone to, I don't know how you would, maybe just one of those, the planes is a logo. The point is you can get creative with this. I'm sure Daniel Snyder has hired somebody with some creativity in his organization.
You know what's not on this list, which was, I originally heard, was a popular one, was the Warriors.
Some alliteration there.
And the idea was you would keep it to honor the Native Americans rather than using a derogatory term for it.
So it seems like it's a fait accompli, like it has to happen. And that's a good thing. We'll see what the Indians do after that. All right, July 7th was the departure date for the Phoenix Suns to Orlando, Florida. And judging by my math, that's like tomorrow.
My goodness, you're right.
Yeah, so it's happening. We were going to talk about Devin Booker, but there seems to be a bigger story brewing right now with the Phoenix Suns, and that is, will Kelly Oubre change his mind? Is the team opening a door for Kelly Oubre? Does he want the door open? I don't think there's any rules against Kelly Oubre returning, even though word came out he wasn't playing. Here's what James Jones had to say
about how the quarantine has impacted Oubre's rehab.
Well, it's a challenging environment for anyone, specifically for athletes that are trying to recover from injury. You can't come to the gym. You can't go into the therapy clinics. You can't get on the court. All you can do is just sit and wait. And as an extreme athlete, you can't rush that back. And we've always said that our goal has been for every single one of our guys to improve and to build towards being able to play. And Kelly's been here in market. He's been rehabbing. And so my expectations for him are the same as every other player. Come in every day, practice with the team, work and compete, and get yourself in a position to play. And hopefully that's before Orlando ends.
Hopefully that's before Orlando ends. Why are you shaking your head?
I just don't understand. It's been such a weird timeline with the Kelly Oubre.
Everything about this story has been weird.
About a month ago, they expect him to play. A couple of weeks ago, he's not playing. And
you
now
could tell, yeah.
He's not playing at first, but he might play by the end of it. And
there,
when they
well,
say
there was
the
injury, then his decision to have surgery,
right.
Which I don't know that the team was really fond of. Then there was Robert Sarver saying he expects him to play. Then Kelly Oubre threw, who was the guy that broke it? Was it Shams Charania? I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Broke the news that Kelly Oubre is not going to play, that he's going to focus on his rehab. And yet Kelly said he was going to accompany his team. So I think what the Phoenix Suns have done is they probably went to Kelly and said, listen, if you're telling us you want to go with the Phoenix Suns to Orlando, and if you want to continue rehabbing with your teammates here and with the Suns, then why don't you leave the window open? Why don't you leave it open for a return?
But I wonder, when he says by the end of Orlando, does that mean, okay, when they make the playoffs and they're going, that'll give them the extra few weeks or month, and then by the time if we
maybe
go deep in the playoffs, then he could return?
Well,
or does he actually mean like he could play in those eight games no matter what happens?
I don't think that, I mean, do we really believe the Suns could make that run to a 9 seed, to a play-in series without Kelly Oubre playing?
No, but
Now, would he go there and, you know, work out with the team? And then maybe the team gets off to a good start, and then he wants to rejoin the team.
Yeah, they start off 4-0, and all of a sudden, it's a real.
But what are the odds of that happening? But, and why would he be waiting to that point? If you know, I don't know. I find this to be truly fascinating.
Hear the last part of that again.
And Kelly's been here in market. He's been rehabbing, and so my expectations for him are the same as every other player: come in every day, practice with the team, work and compete, and get yourself in a position to play, and hopefully that's before Orlando ends.
I really want to know what Kelly Oubre thinks about this, because it's conceivable that Kelly made the decision, I don't think I'm good, because the NBA had that quasi-deadline floating out there, and clearly it's not what Robert Sarver expected to hear, and then maybe now that they've been back together in official capacities, that the medical staff has been working with Kelly and maybe convincing him, dude, trust it, you're all right. And maybe that's what's going on right now. I find this to be truly fascinating. Or maybe they're just, they have expectations. Again, I don't know what the Phoenix Suns felt about Kelly Oubre opting for surgery in the first place, especially when the timing came at a time when the Suns were going to make their push. And certainly Robert Sarver had other expectations at the time all this went down. So maybe they have continuing to have unfair expectations. They're opening a door that maybe he doesn't want open. Or maybe the story has materially changed.
I mean, you don't want to see it as, again, it's just, you know, a couple of lines in a longer answer, but you don't want to see it as, okay, they're putting pressure on Kelly Oubre to return. Like, I know you said you're not going to return, but we're expecting you to return. If you're, you know, if we, I don't know, it's very, very strange. Here's a couple more James Jones quotes talking about how, in general, the break has been great for the team's health.
I believe so. We've talked about it. I think the way we play, the demands we placed on our guys mentally pushed a lot of them to their limits, and physically it pushed a lot of them to their limits. We had some injuries that we believe were style of play injuries, where, you know, coaches asking you every possession to bring it. On offense, he's asking you to swing it, move it, drive it, make quick decisions, but at maximum effort. So I know this respite will be good for our guys. You can see it. A lot of them, Dario Saric, DeAndre, they came back, you know, after the hiatus in phenomenal condition. Aaron Baines, all these guys, it looks as if they're coming back from summer.
There you go.
There you go.
That's what you were looking for.
Yeah, that is what I'm looking for. That's all I've been looking for.
Yeah,
and okay, so maybe that's part of what this is. Maybe this basketball team is kind of reconvened, and they've all looked at each other like, man, you look good. No, you look good.
No.
Let's go get Kelly, because Kelly looks really good.
Yeah, you know what? We got everybody back now. We might actually be able to do something. Where's Kelly? Kelly,
right, where you at? Kelly, you sure you can't go?
Yeah.
Kelly, you just dunked on Dario Saric. You sure you can't go? I don't know, man. It's either the Suns are delusional and just open, keeping this window open just in case, or something is happening here.
Something's happening.
No, but it's, I mean, that's, I would be stoked by that.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. If you found out all of us, like if Kelly Oubre himself came out and said, you know what?
I'm doing it.
Uh-huh. I've thought back over the last week or whatever it's been. I've been really working out hard to try to get myself back, and I've been so excited when I've seen everybody come back and how great everybody looks. I want to play. I want to come back. I want to make a run for it.
Yeah.
That would get everybody tingling. One final one, James Jones here. We talked a lot about how safe is the bubble. Will this go off without a hitch? What's going on here? Is him talking about the bubble.
I mean, well, the GMs I've spoken to, we all believe that the safest place to be is in the bubble. Here in Arizona, you see the cases are skyrocketing across the U.S. The cases are spiking. And our players are a younger generation, a social generation. And the more, the more constraints you can put in place, the better. The structure of Orlando will be beneficial for us. So our anxiety is getting to the bubble healthy. But once we get there, we're back in our element, playing the games, playing basketball on a regimen schedule, and in the league with all their protocols. Like it's amazing. And so I'm not apprehensive about that.
Wow. Getting excited, Carlin.
I said it earlier in jest, yeah. But people are going to get to the bubble and they're not going to want to leave.
It's going to be
the exact opposite of everything that we were saying, is that they're going to get there and they might look at the outside world and they might see how great the amenities are, how fun it is to hang around with all, you know, your...
The water slides open.
Yeah
right.
But it'll for a lot of these guys, probably it'll feel like being back in college almost.
All right, we're obviously have to continue to monitor the story all week. This is fascinating about the Suns and these renewed expectations for Kelly Oubre. It might not be anything more than the fact that, hey, look, we're paying you. You're part of this team. You're rehabbing with us. Well, you're not just going to disappear and rehab on your own. I don't know. I don't know if that's it.
It also might not have been anything more than, you know how the Suns like to keep everything vague? And it might have just been him saying, yeah, you know, he might come back. Who knows? Not wanting to say anything definitively, you know?
Yeah, good point. All right, news is flying fast and furious in Major League Baseball. We'll get you caught up with everything you needed to know from the return of baseball and Summer Camp 2.0 next on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
There's so much uncertainty, and we heard that from Mike Trout on Friday. We heard it from Buster Posey yesterday. And the fact that so many respected veterans now have decided to step away, I think will give players a clear opportunity to assess their own situation as to whether or not they're going to continue.
All right, Major League Baseball had quite an eventful return over the weekend. Summer Camp 2.0, they are calling it. From my vantage point in Coronado Island over the weekend, I looked over and I saw Petco Park and they had the lights on. And it took me a minute to kind of put it all together. It's kind of like in the Beavis and Butthead movie, where at the very beginning, they sit down to watch TV and the TV's gone.
Yeah.
And there's footsteps going out the door and a window open. And they're trying to put it together.
Turn on the TV. what? You turn on the TV.
So I was trying to put it all together and it dawned on me, wow, that's the Padres are working out. And that was the moment where it became real. We know from seeing some of the still photos that the Diamondbacks put out that it was very real here as well. Madison Bumgarner throwing live batting practice, all of it. Torey Lovello, do you have the cuts of how optimistic he was and how on point everybody seemed to be?
I'll tell you what, man. Our guys are getting after it, and it's just about every position player. That front foot's down, that barrel is getting through the zone, that swing plane is right where they want it to be. These guys did a lot of prep work, and I'm really proud of what they've done, and I'm loving what I've seen so far.
Now, that's a lot of shop talk to say that these guys look like they're ready to play baseball, that there's not this lazy meandering into baseball like you do during February. When players show up, you know, and they're...
Yeah. I'm going to play one inning today.
Right. Right. One inning today, two innings tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll walk out to the, you know, outfield with my bag in the second inning and hit the clubs.
And there were scenes like this everywhere. Mike Trout was had an iconic photograph rounding third base wearing a mask. And that was the first I've seen of that. And that was kind of interesting. And then there was also some of these other things that have happened. David Price tapping out, deciding, I don't want to be part of this. Mike Trout also along the way was talking about how he was in a position where he's still not sure what he's going to do. He's going to wait and kind of see what's happening. Yeah. And now you've seen
Buster Posey said similar thing.
Yeah. And there are baseball teams today that refused to continue with their workouts until they got their test results back. And what's happening now is that Major League Baseball has constructed a health and safety protocol that's going to be very difficult to make work. And you've heard Gambo report this. They've got a lab in Utah. They've got teams spread over 30 different sites. They're testing nearly 14,000 tests per week. A company's got to retrieve all those samples. They've got to get to Utah. They've got to be read, and then the information's got to get back. And it's a very difficult thing for Major League Baseball to get their arms around, and it's making players a little bit queasy.
Well, the one thing that we talked about for months on the return of sports was they'll return when they have enough testing that they could do it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And they could do it accurately, and they could do it without taking it away from the general population.
Right.
And we thought they were there, but now with some of the snafus and snags over the weekend, I don't know. And that's a huge, you know, hurdle that maybe nobody thought they would do. Quick aside, though, as I was talking about the players there, mm-hmm. How many famous busters are there in the whole world? The fact that
Buster Posey, Buster Olney,
right, and the fact that
Buster Brown.
Two of them are in baseball right mm-hmm. now. Very odd, don't you think?
Buster Douglas.
There you go. Buster Douglas. Okay, so boxing has one. Two in baseball.
That's a good point.
Buster Olney and Buster Posey. Well, okay.
But is that really their name?
No.
Or is that just, no, that's just a nickname, right?
Yeah.
It's probably like Harold Olney.
Harold Olney. And how about Posey? Larry Posey.
Is that what it is?
No, I'll let
okay.
it right
now. Oh, yeah, of course you are. All right, so what I think is this is going to be a bear watching.
Buster Poindexter.
Here. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about him.
Buster Posey. Gerald Dempsey Posey. Gerald Posey is his real name.
Okay.
And then, of course, Buster Olney's real name
is
Robert Stanbury.
Buster Olney.
Yes.
Got it.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's a fear going through Major League Baseball right now, and I think the players, I don't know whether they want this or not, but the thing that I can envision happening that I really don't want to see happen is that this process just doesn't work. That the testing and the results of the testing aren't timely enough to suit a player's purposes. And then they walk away from the game and they go, see, their fault. They couldn't do their end. They couldn't keep us safe. There's two things that make me very, very angry about that. It was the players who said they didn't want a bubble. Okay? So you're looking at the NBA and you just heard what James Jones said. We can't wait till we get there. That's going to provide us safety and structure. Our big thing is staying healthy before we get there. That's what James Jones just said. All right? The baseball players, they had that opportunity. It was the number one thing they made clear. We don't want to be in a bubble.
Early on, so much so that it wasn't even negotiated beyond the first month.
Right. That's exactly right. So when you're not allowing Major League Baseball to provide that kind of safety for you, then why exactly are you getting so crazy about the lack of immediate testing? Then on top of that, if all of your baseball players that you are with have tested negative to start, then how crazy are you going to get over the immediacy of ongoing testing results? Is it because baseball players don't trust one another? Is it because, and again, if you're a baseball player in Arizona, you got to get to Chase Field. You got to get to where you're working out, and you got to get home. Can you avoid contracting the coronavirus in that time period?
I have the official Major League Baseball statement on the problems with the testing, but it's such small font. I can't get close enough to the screen to read it and be on microphone.
You're kidding me. That's funny.
As of today, more than 95% of the tests under the intake have been conducted and shared with all 30 clubs. The remaining number of outstanding tests is expected to be completed today. So I guess 5% of the tests were still being... Our plan required extensive delivery and shipping services, including proactive special accommodations, to account for the holiday weekend. The vast majority of those deliveries occurred without incident and allowed the protocols to function as planned. Unfortunately, several situations included unforeseen delays,
Because that's the way life works.
Right. There is always unforeseen things that happen, and you can't prepare for them. That's why they're unforeseen.
That's right.
So, or else you would see them.
So you've got to wonder now. It comes down to what is the commitment level to play. In the NBA, there's a belief we are doing this. We have to do this. We'll make this work. And if circumstances conspire against us, we'll pull the plug. Adam Silver's been very upfront about, okay, look, if these numbers get out of control, we might stop. And he's not just saying that because it's a reality. He's saying that because his players want to hear that. His players want to know, my commissioner has my back. And if Adam Silver comes out and says, yeah, look, if these numbers spike out of control, we might pull the plug. That's exactly what the players want to hear. Major League Baseball, there's got to be a commitment to actually doing it to make it work. Well, you can't get mad at Major League Baseball the first time a courier doesn't have your results back when it's supposed to.
It's also the very simple point that we've seen over the last few months that in the NBA, it appears that the commissioner, the owners, the players, they all want to come back and play. In baseball, it seems like none of them want to come back
to play.
They're just trying to find different reasons not to play.
It kind of feels that way. And again, I think that's kind of why the Mike Trout example is out there. Chris Bryant suddenly is waffling. You've had some bigger names already kind of tap out. To the contrary, a guy like Robbie Ray over the weekend said, look, I need to pitch. I'm a free agent. I am pitching for a contract. So this is what we're looking at here, a million different individual agendas. But what about the collective? How about we need to play this sport? Yeah, not so much.
We've been waiting to hear people say that since this happened, is that for the good of the game, for the good of the fans, we want to come back and play. And nobody is saying that on any of the sides.
All right, coming up on the other side, 10-year contracts aren't always judicious in professional sports, but Patrick Mahomes seems like a safe bet. We'll talk about that next. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
Bickley and Murata. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, you knew Patrick Mahomes was good, but a 10-year contract extension that will keep him with the Kansas City Chiefs through the 2031 season.
That's almost long enough to see that ASU-Alabama football game or whatever.
Now, what everybody wants to know is what is the number. We don't have that now. I haven't seen the number anyplace.
No, but I haven't seen it either.
But the number is going to be enormous. It's already confirmed it's going to be the richest deal in sports history, and that goes without saying. Because you look at the average rate of a quarterback right now, a great quarterback is what, 30, 35 million a year? The truly great ones? Okay. So we're looking, and people have pointed out, for this deal to make sense with Patrick Mahomes, it better escalate. Because if you're Patrick Mahomes, you're not going to baseline your 10-year extension on today's rates.
Almost everybody is saying, why did Patrick Mahomes sign this deal?
Right.
Why would you sign a 10-year deal when you're that young and that good? Why not give yourself options? Why not sign a 3- or 5-year deal so you could then get the next huge contract? So you're right. Either there has to be an unbelievably high percentage of it that's guaranteed, to make it just an absolute ridiculous couldn't say no deal.
Yeah.
Or, it, like you said, it escalates the longer he stays with them so that it's worth it for him to stay for the whole 10 years.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that number is going to be fascinating because that number is going to be very influential because this is the best quarterback in football, and this number is going to affect Dak Prescott, right?
Yep.
This number is going to affect Kyler Murray in the future. Is going to affect every elite quarterback.
Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, my goodness. So that's going to be interesting. This is another great little thing, a nugget that's on the internet right now. Somebody tweeted out, to demonstrate how long Patrick Mahomes' 10-year contract extension is, let's look at what Patrick Mahomes was doing 10 years ago today. And there's a clip from him playing in the Little League World Series, singling up the middle for Texas's 2010 Junior League Baseball team.
And I saw somebody follow up with, like, I guess that's why he's getting a baseball-sized contract.
Oh, right, exactly.
Now, on these 10-year deals, the other longest deals or extensions in NFL history, Donovan McNabb, 12 years with the Eagles in 2002. That only lasted a few years before he went to the Redskins. Brett Favre, a lifetime contract with the Packers.
Well, that lasted until he was
went to the Vikings and the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Bledsoe, a 10-year deal with the Patriots in 2001.
Wow.
The same year that Tom Brady took over. And Michael Vick, 10 years with the Falcons in 2004. And we know he did not fill out that contract. So a lot can happen in 10 years is what I'm trying to say. I guess if there's any player who's worth it, it's him.
Well, it's got to be him.
Most people are guessing it's $400 million. You think it's $400 million?
I think it's more.
You think it's more?
I think
it's less. I think about $340
million. No, I think you kind of hit on the key thing, and that is what is going to be the upfront money? What is the guaranteed money, and how soon will it all be paid? Is it $150 guaranteed? Is it $100 guaranteed?
So, yeah, it's got to be more than that. Adam Schefter, no official numbers, but multiple sources believe it will be tied to a percentage of the salary cap for each season.
But that's never been done before.
The higher the cap goes, the more Mahomes will make, but it's a smart move by his part based on what you said. In theory, unless COVID affects the season the next 2 years and all of a sudden he's screwed himself.
Well, think about
the cap goes down.
And that makes sense. That makes sense as well. If you went to your football team and said, look, I want guarantees that I am going to be 16.8% of the salary cap every year for the next 12 years or the next 10 years. That would make sense because then you're betting on the continued raise of salaries in the NFL. But at some point in time, you also have to stop and go, all right, what's that going to do for the viability of the Chiefs? Maybe his thinking is, look, we won it last year, and I trust this organization, so they'll do the right thing. Maybe it means they'll restructure it 50 times during the life of the contract. But that is that's a staggering number with a lot of ramifications in the NFL. I saw a stat today that the top two players in the NFL with touchdown passes of 20 or more yards, it's Patrick Mahomes 1, Dak Prescott 2. What do you think this deal is going to do for Dak Prescott's mentality?
Oh, there's been lots of gifs of Dak Prescott right now and him just making goofy faces. Like, the deep passes are great, but how about the playoff wins between Patrick Mahomes
and
Dak?
Well, of course.
Prescott?
I mean, yeah.
That's the ultimate thing, and that's why I guess they're so apprehensive to give him that huge deal.
Right.
But Dak Prescott, and he's so much like Tony Romo with the Cowboys, and that he is both better and worse than you think he is. He's somehow both the most underhyped and overhyped player. And depending on the moment or how you're viewing him, he's one of the best quarterbacks and he's worth every penny, or he's so overrated they're smart for not giving him the extension.
I'm in the latter. That's where I'm kind of at. But back to Patrick Mahomes, man. This is also, I love looking back at this kind of stuff here. Players selected ahead of him in the 2017 NFL draft. Myles Garrett, Mitchell Trubisky.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. Solomon Thomas, Leonard Fournette, Corey Davis, Jamal Adams, Mike Williams, Christian McCaffrey, John Ross. Then with the 10th pick in the draft, the Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes. So Myles Garrett, it can be a really, really good player. Jamal Adams is a really good player. Christian McCaffrey is a borderline MVP candidate.
Absolutely.
But Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he's great.
Mercy.
Yeah, and then Deshaun Watson went, what, a few picks later?
Yeah, and listen, right, and exactly. And this is, to me now, this is just more grist for what's going on in the NFL that is going to make this upcoming season so phenomenal, if indeed we get there. What do you think Cam Newton is thinking watching all this? Well, I'll tell you what he's thinking. Cam Newton came out over the weekend and said he's tired of being humble. He looks like he's in amazing shape. Since when was Cam Newton ever humble?
He gets tired pretty quickly, huh? Because one word you would not use for him
would
is
be humble.
Yeah, I mean, very few humble people, you know, act the way he does, dress the way he does, celebrate touchdowns the way he does. And I don't know if he's in the context of, I waited on the open market and I took a job where I'm fighting for that kind of humbleness.
Mm-hmm.
But humble is not the right word there, I don't think.
No. But it does speak to what his mindset is, whether or not you know what I mean.
It's almost like he means I'm tired of being humbled.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like I'm tired of other people not believing in me. I'm tired of other people telling me that I'm not as good as I am. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm tired of other people trying to humble me. I'm going to show them that I'm better than they say I am and as good as I always was.
That could be.
That or he just wanted to make a cool video of him working out.
Right, right. But then again, this is also kind of showing you now, if Kyler Murray becomes that guy, talk about taking notes. The Cardinals have to do some foreplanning for this because the market for elite quarterbacks has just kind of been raised.
Yes, in theory, but there's really only one Patrick Mahomes, though. So is this going to be a situation where every new contract now has to beat this one? Like you see with wide receivers,
no.
Like you see with, linebackers or
no,
something?
No, not necessarily, but it is a benchmark. And so I think if you're talking Lamar Jackson, if Lamar Jackson continues to do what he did this year, what he did last year, then yeah, I mean.
Lamar Jackson will be interesting because of the way he plays and the danger in giving somebody like that a 10-year deal.
Yeah. Because what was the other theory? Rudy Carpenter came on this show and said what teams should do is do what the Ravens are doing with Lamar Jackson and then bye-bye when it's time to pay him and then bring in another young guy and have him do the kind of same thing. The Chiefs are doing just the opposite. But Patrick Mahomes doesn't play like Lamar Jackson. He's got the elite arm talent in the NFL. Wow.
Yeah, we'll see if the numbers come out during the show.
10-year deal. All right, coming up on the other side, it's about that time. We welcome in Sarah Cazell, a little social studies, next on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.